long as I'm his kid, I'm in good shape. And I thank God for it. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 18, you know, a few weeks ago I mentioned about going back to the potter's house. Said that might be a message, and God directed me that way last night. So that's where we're going to be today. And I thank God for being able to go back to the potter's house and have my life made over when I make it a mess. But you know, sometimes I was thinking about this. Whenever the potters here on earth, whenever they make a vessel and they put it in the kiln, they can only go so far with it. When they put it in there, if it's got an imperfection or what, it may be hid, but inside may be a flaw. And whenever it's put to the heat, whenever it comes out of the kiln, it might be busted. It might be a mess. It might not turn out nothing like the sculptor or the potter had imagined that it would. But I'm thankful that when God knows my flaws and He remakes me and makes that part stronger, that flaw don't show up any longer, that He'll take care of it. And when the heat's applied to our life, we won't crack under the pressure or the heat of the situation. I'm glad that I can go back to the potter's house. Doesn't mean He don't love me. It means He does love me, because He'll take me back and make me into what I need to be. And many times I mar my vessel. It's not God's mistake, but it's my mistake. But God will put me back on His wheel and mold me and shape me and make me into that vessel. Now Jeremiah chapter 18, it begins in the first verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Now you notice here, he got to a certain point where Jeremiah needed to listen to what God had to tell him, and He told him to go back to the potter's house and He would cause him to hear His words. Today we need to get back to the potter's house in our personal lives, in our church life, in our life as a nation, that we need to get back to the potter's house and hear the Word of God once again being preached in homes and being taught in homes and being preached in the house of God without any reservation, to give it both barrels just like it ought to be given from God's holy Word, not man's idea, not some watered down doctrine, but God's holy Word, unadulterated, just given straight from the pages of God. And as we respect that and we hear the words of God. Today we hear people as chanting about the Olympics and Sochi and watching all the events there, and people just tuning in and videotaping what they can't see and all the millions of dollars. I believe they said that Russia had spent $50 billion on the Olympics. They could have took care of a whole lot of the problems that's inside Russia with $50 billion. But we'll spend stuff like that on games, but we can't help our fellow man. We can't let God be preached because we're afraid of offending someone. We need to get back on the potter's wheel and listen to the potter's message, that we won't be ashamed, that we will hear the words of God. And we need to get back to the potter's house that He can cause us to hear. And we need to be a willing vessel. You know, you set your coffee cup when you go out to eat, and the coffee cup's sitting there upside down on your table maybe. Do they come and pour coffee in it if you ain't got it turned over the other way? If you turn it up, they know you want coffee, and they fill up your cup. But if it's turned the other way, they don't come and offer. Too many times we come to the house of God and our vessel's upside down because we ain't willing to receive from the potter the message that we need. We're not willing to get under the spout where the glory runs out and fill up our cup. We want it turned upside down. We want to make an appearance and go home. Be seen, not heard. Many times. Now let me tell you, that's what they used to say about children, need to be seen, not heard. Listen, a child of God needs to be seen and heard. Amen. Not for a show, but because we're come together to worship and praise God. Amen. Gets quiet. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. He didn't go somewhere else, did he? No, it didn't say he went down to the crystal factory and got him a spiritual crystal to help him along the way. No, he didn't do that. He didn't go to the Scientologist. He didn't go down to the psychic and ask him if it's all right to go to the potter's house. He didn't go get permission from some law group to give him permission to go do this or a permit to go do it. He said he went down to the potter's house. When God speaks, we don't need to take some other avenue to get there. We just need to hear from God, and we need to obey and act upon it. We need to get back to the potter's house and see and work the work upon His wheels. Thank God He's not quit working on us yet. Thank God I'm not perfect yet. The man inside of me is saved and sealed by the blood of Jesus, but this body can get a lot better off than what it is by listening to the Spirit man. And that vessel needs to be filled with God's Spirit. Not the spirits of this world, not the things of this world that brings pleasure to this flesh, but the things of God. that we'd be filled up. But he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You ever look in the mirror and think, boy, God, you've got a sense of humor? Maybe that's only me. I told Jerry back there, he was talking about he wasn't able to walk any and much, and his suits was a-shrinking. I told him that I figured it out what causes this. It's not that I'm getting fatter. You see, an object when it's heated expands. So I'm just really hot.
Amen.
Leave it to the preacher's wife. But he marred the vessel that was in his hands as he was working it upon the wheels. It marred in his hands. Many times we mar these vessels. Many times we got imperfections. Many times it's because of the things that's in our life that causes us to be marred. It's not the things that God is placing in us. It's the things that we're allowing to come into our life. The things that we're allowing our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our mouth to speak that is bringing the flaws and the bad things into our life. It's causing us to be marred by this world. Let me tell you, you're a child of God. You should have God's Scotch guard upon you that the things of this world don't stick to you. Let that absorb in just a minute. We need to, that we get covered good with it. It ought to roll off our back, these things of this world, and not let them take up residence in our life. The things that's going on, the things that people are saying is normal. Let's get back to prayer being normal in homes. Let's get back to reading the Bible being normal in homes and in lives. Let's get back to the Bible in church. And not just things that make people happy, but read the Word of God. Now let me tell you, if you read the Word of God and try to live by the Word of God, you'll be happy, but you'll have some unhappiness because you won't enjoy the things of this world anymore. Now let me tell you, God didn't say that we had to just despise everything that's here. We can have a good time while we're here, but this is not where I'm going to stay. This is going to pass. Thank God I've got a home waiting me in heaven. Thank God I've got something else. We can have a good time while we're here. We can laugh and have a good time. It's okay for Christians to smile. Amen. It's all right. We don't have to have a frown. We don't have to go around with a defeated life thing. Oh, we got to be beat down. We got to be poverty stricken. We got to be this. We got to be that. Because we're Christian. Thank God. Enjoy it.
Amen.
You got victory. It's not always going to be like this. We're just passing through the dressing room, headed on to the big stage called heaven. But it's not going to be just a show. No, it's permanent. A show's just temporary. But thank God heaven is permanent. Permanent. But he remade the vessel when it marred in his hands. How many of us have marred lives we're not proud of? I don't have to see your hands. We've all got things that we're not proud of that's happened in our life. Thank God God didn't give up on us. He said, I'll reshape you, I'll remold you, I'll take that messed up part in your life and I'll remake it till there'll be a blessing to you and someone else. You've been through things that can strengthen me. Maybe I've been through things that can strengthen you, and through it all together, we become the vessels of God that's able to carry the blessings of God to others. But if you're not willing to have your vessel filled, it's hard to carry a blessing to someone else. If you're not willing to get that living water bubbling up in your soul, that God said He would place there through Jesus, He would place in us a well of living water. If you're not willing to let that overflow once in a while, you got your well capped off, you'll stay right there in that position. You ever feel the Spirit of God moving on you? You say, I ain't going to be moved. You just sing that song, I shall not be moved. And buddy, I tell you, it had to be Baptist to come up with it. I shall not be moved. Some ain't going to be moved. It wouldn't matter. A stick of dynamite go off wouldn't move them. The power of God can't move them and nothing else will. But we need to let God move in our life. And I'm not saying you have to jump up and down and hoop and holler and carry on to jump over this pulpit. That don't mean you're saved. But you can have a feeling of God in your soul and should have something different and be a different people, a peculiar people. Be a vessel of God. God don't make no junk. All things that God makes is just exactly what God wants. You say, well, if I'm exactly what God wants, I'm fine just like I am. That's what Satan's telling you. God's trying to straighten you up and change your life and make you into that. But You're like a diamond. You're hardened off. And instead of giving, you'll crack. Your faults will show as it cracks. Be soft and supple as the clay that's in the potter's hands, that he can mold and make and use for his good, for his glory. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in mine hands, O house of Israel. And I would say, O house of America, we are a blessed people. God, no doubt, had to give us this nation that we live in as Christians, and what God has allowed to come of this United States being founded upon the Word of God and people that were praying and people that come together and would have sometimes 3 or 4 hours worth of prayer before they made decisions. They were committed to know what God's will was for America. If we had that commitment, once again, what a nation we can be. But it's going to have to start in the church, because it's not going to be in the government. Amen. We're going to have to start praying. We're going to have to start praying for those that's in charge, that they will be willing vessels that God can use instead of hardened off to the ways of man. Amen. And seek true wisdom. At what instance I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If God is blessing, it will stand. If God is pouring out His Spirit upon nations, they will stand. But if He decides that they need to be brought down, they will. Amen. And no man can make it stand if God says that's enough and pulls it down to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. There comes a point in time when judgment will happen. But God said, if that nation has committed such evil, will turn from their evil ways. Will repent. I will hear. And I won't destroy them. But there comes a time when the time is up. And destruction will come. Now there's some people worried about nuclear war. I told you before, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about all these things that other people are worried about. Because in the Word of God, it tells me that I'm not going to be here through those terrible times. He said He was going to keep me from that great hour of temptation. I'm not going to have to worry about who's got control of the nuclear arms. You notice that? God split an atom and made all this and made everything possible. Told Adam how to stay together. Put them electrons and neutrons and all those charges and all those things together. And boy, they're right there. What's man do? He comes along and tries to split it. One of these days, man's going to split from here. And all sin and unrighteousness is going to. We come in there and we try to destroy what God's put together. Whether it's a church, whether it's a people, whether it's a family, whether it's a nation, whatever it is, when man gets involved, we try to destroy instead of build up as God has. As God has. He said He would repent of the evil that He thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. Now, one time He spoke for America to build and to plant and for it to grow. It wasn't a mistake, as Christopher Columbus and those that were seeking out a new land landed where they did. It was all in God's divine plan for the America. Now, we've made our mistakes. We've made some terrible ones here in the last few years and things the way they're going. But it's because we've left God. We've left God. As long as we was walking after God, as long as we feared God, as long as God was in the center of the church and in the center of people's lives, even though they might have been involved in government, they had God. And when we started walking away from that, we can see where we started failing. Started failing. And we're gathering up speed. Sometimes sin is like a snowball that's on a hillside. It may start off small. And as you push it and as it gains mass, it can pick up speed. And when it finally gets to the point to where its mass is so large that it will not hold it there any longer and it starts rolling on its own, it just picks up and grows in size. And that's where sin has got to the point. It's growing in size. It's picking up speed as it's going downhill. And people's minds are on evil always. Their hearts are on evil always. That's why our prisons are having to expand. Why our law enforcement people are having to get have more arms and things whenever it comes to combat against other people because of the evil that's in people's lives. You ever watch Cops? I like that show. I don't know why. But everybody on there that gets caught don't know what's in their car. Surprises me. Nobody, I didn't know that was in there. Anything illegal in there? Nope. And the first thing they do, pat them down and find a crack pipe on them. Or something else. Find marijuana, find meth. I didn't know that was in there. It's your car, right? How many of you know where your drugs are at in your car? Mine's Tylenol. I don't know about yours. But that's where we've got to in America. Everybody owes me something. My government's going to take care of me. And we don't trust God to take care of us. We're not worried about getting back to the potter's house. We're worried about getting down there to get more money put on our debit card. We're not worried about the blessings of God. We're not worried about being a willing vessel. We're not willing to carry the blessings of God to someone else that they can hear. We're not willing to serve God. But we'll serve everything else. Someone said this past week in an interview about the ceremony there in the Grammys about them conjuring up and calling Satan during the Grammy Awards. Friends, they didn't have to call Satan. They didn't have to summons him. He's here. He's here. It wasn't nothing calling him out of the pits of hell. He's here. He's walking about this land and country to and fro like a lion seeking to devour those that he can. It's a shame that people have got to the point where they're not ashamed of the filth and the garbage that they'll put on TV. Amen. And then make fun of a Christian artist because she gets up and walks out of such a mess. Besides it being the same-sex marriage that they performed as a mass marriage. It was more of a mess than a mass marriage. Now therefore go to and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Do you make your ways and doings good? Do you strive to do the things that God would have you to do? And they said, there is no hope. Let me tell you, there is hope. There is hope through Jesus. And that's the only hope that we have. There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Boy, that sounds familiar. Sounds familiar. We don't want nothing to do with your God, but it's all right if every other God is mentioned, but don't mention Jesus. Okay, we won't. We'll back off. We won't offend you. You can say Buddha and it don't scare me a bit. You can say Muhammad and it don't bother me. Allah. None of them guys really bother me. Hare Krishnas, they don't bother me. But at the name of Jesus, there's power. Amen. Hey, the devil shakes and trembles at the name of Jesus. The power in the blood. Oh, it's wonderful. Power in the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing there's any power in. Jesus Christ. But are we making our ways and our doings good? And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. Sounds like a rebellious nation to me. And we will every one of us do the imagination of his evil heart. Seems like they're doing that. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, what hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. We've done a very horrible thing in many churches. Because we've allowed God to be taken out of the church. We've made it so worldly we can't tell the difference. It's time to let God back in His home, back in His house. It's time for him to clean out the defiles of the world and make a will, the sacrifice, but once again be covered, the whole church, and clean out the garbage that's been put in the chambers in the storehouse of God. It's time to clean it out once again and it be sanctified back to the service of God, just as the area was back in Nehemiah's day when Tobiah had made an alliance with one of the high priests and set up housekeeping again in the house of God where he didn't belong. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall this, the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense into vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. We're walking in paths that's not the path of God. We're following things that are not godly, and we put them up and say, oh, it's all right. We'll go some other way. There's a new way. We can go to heaven without Jesus. That's garbage right out of hell. That's what Satan's trying to tell people. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't get to heaven. And we have a saying, you can't get there from here. And you can't get there without Him. He's the only way. To make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing, everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. Sometimes I just hear things going on and all I can do is just disbelief. I have to just shake my head because of the evil that's in people's hearts. Child abuse, elderly abuse, domestic violence, all these things that's happening. And it gets worse, the economy gets bad, people get meaner. I don't know why. They ain't got their fix, so they have to get it somewhere else. They can't afford to go out and do something else, so what do? They beat up on their wife and children. Or in some cases, on their husband and children. We wag our heads at the things that have happened. Verse 17, I will scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. How long is it going to be till God turns His face on America and He shows us His back? There's still hope. As long as we don't have the attitude that they did, we're going to walk in our own devices and we're going to continue in our imagination of our own evil hearts. The repentance has to come from the people so God can hear. So God can hear. It's not the school's fault. It's our fault. It's mom and dad's faults because they're not teaching the Word of God. They're not living it in front of their children. They're waiting for someone else to do it. Their attitude is, here I am, Lord, send someone else. Here I am, Lord, send me. Let me be the example. Give me the strength to be that. And I want to share this with you while we're talking about that going. Kids, I'm proud of you for yesterday for passing out tracts at Winter Place. They may not have told you, but Josh and Cassandra were there and they heard one of the guys that was running the lift, one of you had gave a tract to, talking to his buddy that worked there. They didn't realize that they were there and listening and was part of the group. And said, hey, so there's one church group here, and said, they gave me this when they were getting on the lift, this piece of paper, and I read it. And he was sharing it with his friend. He said, I've worked here 7 years and no church group has ever done that before. Amen. They passed out a tract. You don't know whose life you may have changed, or two lives, or a whole family. You don't know who you might have affected. Amen. But I'm proud of you. That you were willing vessels. You say, well, it was a requirement so I could go. Oh, I'm glad you did it. Next time it'll be a little easier. But someone's life can be changed because you did pass out a tract. Someone did receive it and they did read it. God will bless that. So not only did they have fun yesterday, they were also on a mission. That they passed out those tracts. Adults? Maybe we need a challenge. I think even left some at a restaurant with their tip. I believe they said there with one of them they had left a couple of tracks. That's great. might reach someone. Someone may have been having a bad day. It may uplift their life. It may speak volumes to them. They may be down at the time. They may have been looking for something. They may have been needing something. But you were willing vessels and you carried something and gave it to someone else. God's not going to scatter you, but He's going to pull you together under His wings and protect you. But God loves you this morning. He loves us, and we need to get back to the potter's house. We need to be willing to have our clay remolded and shaped as God sees fit. This old body of clay is not much. It houses who Brad is, the spirit, the soul. But it's not who I am. Oh, it's got a certain look and a certain size. But that's not what makes me me. God gave me what makes me me, just like He did you. And all of us, though we're all the same, we're different. We were all loved by Jesus, and He saved us because He died on the cross of Calvary, that our soul wouldn't have to die and go to hell. We're different. We should be different. We should look different. We should talk different. We should act different in the world than what the world does. Because we are children of the Most High God. If you're lost, you can be a child of the Most High God. Thank God I'm no longer an orphan, though I wasn't an orphan because I had my mother and my father here. But I was an orphan when it come to God. But thank God He adopted me into His family. My soul was ragged. But when He saw me and He applied His blood, thank God He gave me a new garment. And I'm no longer the same. We'll never be the same. But I'm willing to be put back on the potter's wheel. I'm not so steadfast and hard and strong on my own that I think that I don't need improving. But the improvement has to come from God. The inside pressures, the outside pressures forms us and makes us. You think about the potter there on the wheel as the clay is spinning. A delicate touch from the inside as well as from the outside to form that delicate pot and that very soft clay. Too much pressure either way, and it's marred. God knows the balance for your life of how much pressure that you need to mold you and shape you. I don't want to be like a piece of coal that it takes tons and tons of force to make me into the shining diamond. I want just a touch of God's hand to be enough to form my life. And I hope and pray that you do. As I get a song of invitation this morning, have you been to the potter's house lately? Maybe God's speaking to you, and you know that you need reshaping and remolding, that you need something that you've not been getting, that you've not been fed from the Word of God, that you're not being blessed from God. Maybe it's because we need to get back to the potter's house. And let Him make us into the vessel that will be receptive of God's Spirit to be poured out in us. That will allow Him to fill us up into overflowing. That will allow Him to save us that are lost. That will allow Him to work in our lives that are saved. But that we'll be willing to let the potter have control. As we stand to our feet as they play a song of invitation this morning. Every head bowed, all eyes closed. No one looking across the congregation except the Lord and myself. The Lord knows your heart this morning. He knows if you're saved, if you're ready. He knows if you've got a problem. He knows if you need to come to the potter's house and be remade. He knows all this about you already. You don't have to tell Him anything because He knows you inside and out. But He wants to give you an opportunity to come and speak to Him. That you'll share with Him what you know in your heart that He already knows about you. Have that conversation one-on-one with the Master. Are you here this morning and you're lost and undone without Him? If you was to draw your last breath now and you can't say that heaven would be your home, that you would die and go to hell for Him, please. God's dealing with your heart, consider coming to this altar and meet Jesus, because He's willing to meet you. Maybe you're here this morning and you just like to lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost and undone without Jesus. I want to be saved. Pray for me that I'll just trust Him and I'll make that step."